I saw what appeared to me to be a massive scorpion. The guidance is from heaven is prepare to enter into a season whereby we are entering into a new world. This is an ideological conflict. Is the beginning of a defensive posture that is going to force an ideological war that is going to overtake the world. Will be, above all else, an ideological war contending for the future of what it means to be human on this planet leading into the transition of ages.
You're listening to Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall.
All right, friends, quick reminder, DanDuvall.com is the home of the Discovering Truth with Dan Duvall podcast. Check it out. Remember, you can become a podcast patron at any time. One of the coolest parts about becoming a podcast patron is our monthly patron call with yours truly, exclusively for podcast patrons. Minimum, $5 a month. Not much. Also, keep in mind, my book, Awakened, is available and waiting for you to read it. Friends, I'll see you on the other side. You're like me, friends. You have been following this wild ride. The attack that the U.S. made on Iran a couple weeks ago has not led to a tapering off of anything on an international scale at all. In fact, bombs are being blown up all over the Middle East. And guess what? The implications are extraordinary. And of course, as you would imagine, there are about as many opinions as there are available facts. And frankly, it's kind of hard to even nail down what the available facts are because there is such an intentional obfuscation of facts by side. So depending on whose side we're discussing, the facts seem to change. Well, I've been in a situation where, you know, I've been tracking a lot of this stuff. And as a leader, I often get asked, Daniel, what are you doing? What are you seeing from God? How are you making sense of all of this stuff? And we did a little podcast last week about that subject, and I gave you a few nuggets, and turned out you guys liked it a lot. So I'm going to continue talking about this stuff today, beginning with this encounter I had in the spirit. So a few days after the U.S. bombed Iran and Iran began to retaliate and defend itself and attack neighboring countries, including Israel, I prayed about it. I was like, God, what is going on in the spirit? And what I saw was really interesting, and I'm going to share it with you now. I saw what appeared to me to be a massive scorpion. And I say this, by the way, because what I'm going to tell you was seen during the time where I was listening to our president tell us this was going to be basically a short exercise. It was going to be in and out, so to speak. And we were making a move to prevent an attack on our country, according to our intelligence. So we had to protect America. And but this was supposed to be something short, and that's the message, right? But I'm praying, and what I saw was a giant scorpion. And if you know about scorpions, you know that scorpions have kind of like two different responses to assessed threat, okay? A scorpion will either run, it'll just crawl off, or it will go into a defensive stance where it actually lowers its body. It becomes immobile, so it can't run in that position. And then it does something else. It primes itself to strike. And so its mouth is ready to bite, its claws are ready to pinch, its stinger is ready to stab. And what I saw was a very large, and I would say about the size of a city, scorpion. In the region of Iran, in the spirit world. And I saw it go into the defensive position. And I was like, oh my. whatever they are saying or whatever they think they're looking at, it is not true. This is a picture of what we're actually dealing with. Not only did I see it go into a defensive posture, so it was literally posturing itself not to run. Let me say it another way. Not to negotiate, but to defend itself. And then I saw a massive grid coming out from under the scorpion. And I saw it international. I saw this as an international grid. It looked like a web of communication. And I said, oh my. And what I am going to tell you is that web represented sleeper cells. Sleeper cells. Friends, my opinion, based on what I saw in the spirit from that day, and it has not changed, is that this conflict in the Middle East will not end in a short order of time. It doesn't matter what they say. What they say is on the table or off the table, or what certain leaders suggest based on their intelligence or perspective or opinion. My strong opinion, based on what I saw in the spirit, is that this conflict is not going to end anytime soon. And what I think the guidance is from heaven is prepare to enter into a season whereby we are entering into a new world. The next thing that I want to say is that this conflict is not based on one thing. It's not based on oil positioning or a military base that we want to build but couldn't, or, you know, this is an ideological conflict beyond anything else. And even if some of the players themselves that are making key decisions aren't firmly rooted in ideologies that are driving the conflict, there are enough people that are, that this is not any kind of local skirmish or small frame issue. This is an ideological conflict that pulls on many ideologies from around the world. And because it's an ideological conflict, it's actually not going to be resolved at a negotiation table based on two people just agreeing things aren't a good idea anymore. An ideological war plugs into theology and eschatology. And what we are seeing is the beginning of an unfolding of many different belief systems, eschatology, with the onset of this conflict. And what we need to understand is that because you have rivaling eschatologies, and what eschatology means is end time theologies. Because you have rivaling eschatologies, you have people that are inclined to lean in on this issue and to lean in for different reasons. And they're not business as usual reasons. They're not just, oh, I want this, but I couldn't get it, so I want to blow you up. It's this is destiny. This is end time purpose. And some of the main ideologies that are involved right now in what's happening include Islam and Islam's view of the end times, or Islam's eschatology. And Islam basically breaks into two camps, Sunni and Shia. Now in Iran, most of the practicing Muslims are Shia. Shia Islam believes in the 12th Imam, or they call themselves 12ers. And the idea there, for those of us Christians that don't understand that, is that their 12th Imam was essentially a Mahdi, a prophet that lived in the 9th century that went into a almost like a transcendent state by which he still guides the Islamic people ultimately to manifest again. before a return of Jesus, believe it or not. The Sunnis, they believe that there will be a Messiah that is a Mahdi that will be born or was not born before that will precede a return of Jesus, interestingly enough. But they believe that there is a conflict that the Mahdi will guide them through. And so this conflict erupting means, oh my gosh, the Mahdi must be about to return on the scene. And that's a good thing. So we want the Mahdi, so we want the conflict. Now, on the other side, you have political Zionism. And political Zionism basically says, Abraham gave the Jews this land called Greater Israel, and we don't have it yet, but because God said it in Genesis 15, we should be able to take it. And so we want to take it now. And in order to do that, you need Iran out of the disintermediated from the process. And then you need to take land from Lebanon and from Egypt and from all these other neighboring countries. And then you have a Zionism being divided between different camps. And so Zionism sits in Judaism or Orthodox Judaism, and definitely in Kabbalistic Orthodox Judaism. And it also sits in a specific group of Christians. And because that group's views are popularized, it's really interesting that you have a lot of Christians that think that political Zionism is inherent to what it means to be a Christian. Because by the way, some people would present it, it would seem like, oh, if I don't believe in this, then I'm not a good Christian. False. In fact, there's only one view of Christian eschatology that really makes room theologically for political Zionism. And that view is called dispensational premillennialism, which essentially means that God moves through dispensations and that his covenant with Israel, which then moved to just Judah after he divorced the northern tribes, continues even through today. And there was no interruption of that. And because they didn't embrace Jesus, God put a parenthesis on his plan for the genetic tribes. And then the Christian church goes 2,000 years, but eventually we get raptured so God can finish his plan for this original covenant, which never got interrupted or changed for the genetic Jews. And so dispensational premillennialism is a unique view that sits as separate. Interestingly enough, the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, which I don't represent at all, does base at least some of their teachings on the Bible, would fall into a category called amillennialism, which completely disregards with political Zionism. Catholics do not believe that Israel in 1948, as a rule, should be there because of biblical reasons or theology. So it's really interesting because what happens is now you're going to see the Christian camps from one area of Christendom to another dividing, quite literally dividing over what 1948 and 1967 Israel means and the geopolitical agenda for political Zionism, because there is only one view in Christianity that accommodates political Zionism as part of God's end time plan for what he's doing. The rest of it can come somewhat disintermediate with that. And so when we come to the table and talk about views on something called the millennial reign, you have three positions. And this comes out of Revelation 20, that Jesus will rule for 1,000 years with the saints. You have premillennialism, which has two camps. You have amillennialism, which basically makes an allegory out of that statement. That would be your Roman Catholics and others. And then you have postmillennialism that basically concludes the millennial reign was begun sometime around AD 70. And the numbers are not official, but this would also be the view that embraces the idea that we're actually past all of this stuff. We're past Matthew 24. We're past Luke 19. And we're just in Satan's little season of Revelation chapter 20, because all of these things have already come there. In fact, with the Satan's little season view that's gotten popularized by AI videos on YouTube, people aren't even looking for an antichrist anymore. They're just saying, well, there's an uprising evil and, you know, it's going to end soon. So I will say that you have a lot of now ideologies, but they don't agree. And the interesting thing is the ideology that is influencing a lot of what's going on in the Middle East comes from one pocket of Christianity that has its roots in dispensational premillennialism and Kabbalistic Jews or agnostic and atheistic Jewish people, many of them are Ashkenazis, that simply want to drive a political agenda for whatever their reasons are. And then we land on the what I would just call the Luciferian agenda, which is we want to make Jerusalem City the capital of a global governance new world order. And that's the part that most people don't want to talk about. They don't want to say it because it's uncomfortable and because you get deplatformed when you suggest anything contrary to the most upstanding morals and agendas for things happening in Jerusalem and in the country we call Israel today. Because the quorum of believers that believe in political Zionism as their eschatology are vicious. And they're also backed many times by certain types of money. Same as the politicians that back political Zionism. They're backed by certain types of money. And with that money comes power. And so with all of this said, you have a lot of ideologies looking at this conflict and looking at this conflict for different reasons, which makes this much more than a war for a small thing or a small military objective or whatever. This is the beginning of what many people see as the end, literally the end of the age, according to their theology and eschatology, which is part of the reason why when I was looking at this in the spirit, I do not see an Iran that plans at any point in capitulating and making a last hand deal with the U.S. and saying, oh, we're done fighting. You're right. You win. You beat us up too bad. We tap out. What I saw is the beginning of a defensive posture that is going to force an ideological war that is going to overtake the world. And this is where I believe that Christians need to really start asking hard questions. Like, why do I believe the eschatology that I believe? Because I'm not going to tell you in this video who's right. Are we supposed to be amillennialists, premillennialists, postmillennialists? I said earlier there are two camps in premillennialism. There is dispensational premillennialism, and then there is historic premillennialism, pulling on writings of literally Irenaeus and Hippolytus, early church fathers, and they come from a line discipled straight from John the Apostle, who wrote the book of Revelation through Polycarp, another early church father. But like there are different views. And guess what? Historic premillennialism, which by the way, I am, also does not mandate political Zionism as part of the eschatology. And so what we need to start asking is, okay, if I want to support Israel, but there is a Luciferian hand that also wants to use Israel as a base of operations for the global governance of their new world order, then why do I support that? Now, some people would say, well, because once they get to do that, then Jesus gets to come back. Okay. All right. So we support it, but then on the other side, have we really read all of our scriptures and are we supposed to support this thing? Now, I pose this question to you because, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of what the course of events is that is prophesied to occur, we want to be on the right side of right. And what we want to realize is we don't want to play into any agenda that strengthens the enemy's position. In fact, what we need to do is say, Jesus, how do I create as much conflict and difficulty for the enemy to pull off his plans as possible? because I was sent here for such a time as this. And so we want to get a grid on what we're looking at, pray into what's my role, and then begin to position ourselves contrary to any kind of agenda coming out of the enemy's camp. We are his opponent, friends. We are the opponent of diabolical agendas and darkness, not the assistant of diabolical agendas and conflict. And, you know, that's one of the things I brought up in the last podcast was what I said was, you know, in Kabbalah, the Luciferian agenda is encoded and they believe in the Leviathan, they rename Mashiach ben Yosef, that drives political Zionism, right? So they say, they did literally tell you the snake is driving the political agenda. And one of the other things you may not know is that they believe that the serpent, the Nakash, the Leviathan will work to merge technology with spirituality or the mysteries of Kabbalah, which I'll just call, frankly, sorcery. So we want to merge, the snake wants to merge technology and sorcery to help man establish the great tikkun, which in Kabbalah, what that means is the repair of the worlds so we can save ourselves and enter ultimately into a universal consciousness that's established in its fullness by the second twin Leviathan, Mashiach ben David, the orator of the Remez HaRemezim, which is the fifth level of Torah revelation, universal consciousness. So we want to use that snake to bring about transhumanism and the onset of every type of advanced technology merged with sorcery to bring about a new world order, global governance, and ultimately universal consciousness. Now that's the whole goal of the beast kingdom, antichrist stuff. And guess where they want to make their Mecca? Jerusalem. That's why Revelation 11 has the two prophets, the two witnesses prophesying in Jerusalem, the city where our Lord was slain. This is what real Bible eschatology teaches. There is going to be a beast system established somewhere. Revelation 11 tells us exactly where that is, as does Zechariah 14. So friends, like as we are looking at all of these events that are to come, we want to keep in mind several things, right? Our enemies are not the Muslims and the people that are looking for their Mahdi any more than it's Orthodox Jews that are looking for a different Messiah because they missed Jesus, any more than it is people that are political Zionists or people that are not political Zionists. What we need to understand is that the enemy has an ultimate agenda to establish a global governance, and he wants his capital in Jerusalem, and he wants to baptize the entire Middle East in blood to give it a demonic consecration so that they can pull on that region of the world to power a very occult and diabolical agenda that will then export its agenda to as much of the world as it can. And we need to be against that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But friends, we're not going to go into this ignorant of the playing field. World War III will be, above all else, an ideological war contending for the future of what it means to be human on this planet leading into the transition of ages. With that said, I'm done for today. God bless and Godspeed.